Good morning. I would like to welcome back today Martin Pierce, who is leading our worship. A thank you to everyone who supported in any way the coffee bar yesterday. Delighted to say we raised £242.50. So well done to the very small team that made that possible. Please join us in the big hall after the service today for a tea or coffee. Because we raised £242.50 yesterday, there's no goodies today. The Congregational Board will meet on Wednesday, the 17th of April at 7:30 in the small hall, and this will be followed by a meeting of the Kirk session. Myra McPherson has been in touch to pass on Harry's thanks for the flowers that he received during his recent illness and which were sent to him on behalf of the congregation. Next Sunday, our service will include another well-known personality of Broxford Parish Church who will be taking part in This Is Your Christian Life. Come along and find out who it is.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Welcome everyone here today, including those listening and watching online. Our angels are reinforced with two extra angels this week as we welcome Isabel and Evelyn. So it's lovely to have you with us. And I'm delighted to say we've got Adiola's children with us, Ayanya and Orba. And we've got Zainab's grandchildren, Ada Easy and Ada Obi. Can you tell who is Ada Obi and who is Ada Eza? You'll have to work that out. But it's lovely to have you with us. It's always great to have Isla with you. We don't take you for granted, Isla, just because you're here every week. We need your special smile, because that's what brings us all together. So it's a joy to welcome everyone to our service when we're reflecting on those momentous events of Easter. And we will reflect on that as we go through the service. Elaine is running a Sunday school afterwards, so for the four young children and Isla, helped, I'm sure, by Amy. Amy's just volunteered, obviously. So an opportunity for a Sunday school after the all-age talk. So lovely to have you all with us. So let's come to our call to worship. Just one line for you to say if you wish to, under the word all. Let us gather with hearts united by the love of Christ. So let's sing our first hymn, number 416, 416. Christ is alive, let Christians sing.
Thank you.
So having sung our praises to God, let's bring our thoughts now in prayer to God. Let us pray. God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an eternal covenant, help us choose righteousness so that we may do your will through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Easter is over, but resurrection is here. The tomb has been emptied, and death still cannot be contained. The stone has been rolled away, and you offer each of us new life in Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. We praise you for loving us through your endless grace and forgiveness. Lift us once again, gracious God, into the certainty of your eternal promises. Risen Lord Jesus, may we see you transforming our lives and attitudes, glimpsing you in unexpected places and meeting you in unexpected people. May we be inspired to share the life that you bring. May that life invade our worship and infuse our praise as we gather today to celebrate your love and eternal promises. And in the light of the resurrection, reveal to us where we fall short in proclaiming your glory. Those times we choose to live in selfish ways. Those places we sometimes fail to see your light and presence. Reveal to us our failings along with your forgiveness, and lead us back into your light and your ways as we worship you here. We ask that you will forgive all our wrongdoings and give us a fresh start in our lives this very day as we pause now in silence to reflect on the things we have done wrong and therefore seek your forgiveness. Lead us, O Lord, through the Christian journey of life that we face with faith, hope, and love by responding to the prayer that your Son and Savior taught us to say by saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so we come to our all-age talk, and I've got a couple of helpers with our talk this morning. And just while they come to the lectern, what do we remember about Easter? Easter quickly slips into the background. Here's a few slides. Do we remember Easter eggs? Did anyone get an Easter egg this year? A few got Easter eggs. Anybody over there? No? Oh, good. Has anyone noticed the lambs in the field? You've got some wonderful lambs just outside Broxburn on the left, down by the railway line. I was on a train with my grandson through the week, and we saw lots of lambs just like that. And, of course, we had the Easter services. And here's a couple of slides to remind ourselves about these. Yes, just 2 weeks ago was Palm Sunday when we celebrated the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But that was a short-lived experience, because very soon Good Friday was upon us when Jesus was crucified. Evil appeared to have won. And then last Sunday you had that wonderful service when the church was full and you met the empty tomb and was made aware once again that Jesus was indeed risen. So I thought very appropriate for us to reflect on are the appearances of the risen Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus came and met people individually and in large groups. So that's what we're going to reflect on now, as Jesus came upon people. And now my reading team will help us through some of the memories of the appearances of Jesus.
The first appearance was Mary Magdalene at the open tomb.
The first appearance of the risen Jesus. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
Second appearance, Cleopas and his companion on the walk to Emmaus.
Third appearance, the disciples and followers in the house in Jerusalem when Thomas was absent.
The fourth appearance took place 1 week later when Thomas was present. Thomas examined the hands of Jesus and said, "My Lord and my God," because he had the big advantage of physically seeing the risen Jesus. We're asked to take it in faith, but there is a lot of evidence, as we'll continue to read.
The fifth appearance of the risen Jesus was the seven fishermen in the boat at Galilee.
Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some."
So Jesus and the fishermen enjoyed a barbecue breakfast once they caught the fish. And in that meeting, Jesus made it clear that Peter was forgiven and was reappointed very much as the leader of the emerging Christian communities. And in that same exchange, he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And of course, Peter says in the end, "Lord, you know I love you." And that's what we're asked to do, is to love Jesus faithfully. We continue to the next slide.
The sixth appearance, the ascension into heaven.
"Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," is the command, the Great Commission is called, that Jesus gave to us just before his ascension into heaven.
Jesus is risen. Alleluia.
Jesus is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Thank you. So we're going to sing a very bright and cheerful song which brings together all what we've just been speaking about, those momentous events of Easter that changed the world. It's number 404, "I Danced in the Morning."
Thank you. First reading today is from the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, reading the first part of chapter 15. The whole of that chapter is the most amazing account of the resurrection, I think, in the whole Bible. But here's the first 11 verses. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. And our second reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 21, reading verses 1 to 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out in it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled in the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so were the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And we thank God for these readings from his word.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We pray through Jesus, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. In the Gospel, there are at least six eyewitness accounts of the risen Jesus. Introduce them briefly in the all-age address, But I want to mention them again because there are certain sayings that Jesus said during those appearances very relevant to us today. The first two involved the women. The four Gospels were pretty confident Mary Magdalene was the first person to see the risen Jesus. And when they met, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And in Matthew's Gospel, we read that Jesus appeared to several women at the same time, which included Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the other Mary. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So the first saying that I think comes from the ladies on that first Easter today is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to believe in Scripture and all that we sing and share each time we come together in worship. We can have confidence. It stood the test of time. So do not be afraid. The third appearance was the walk to Emmaus by Cleopas, and his companion may well have been his wife on that first Easter day. Scripture tells us that very day two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. When they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. On that road, Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory?" So a second saying emerges for us. O foolish ones, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things? His crucifixion, his dreadful beatings, his sacrifice was all prophesied in so many places in the Old Testament. So we can avoid being foolish by accepting Scripture and learning together. It has clearly stood the test of time of over 2,000 years. In a fourth appearance of the risen Jesus, a post-resurrection saying from Jesus is this: "Peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you, with you." That peace is something quite unique that only God and Jesus can give. Yes, go to the doctors, take your medication. For those who take advice from counselors or life coaches, that's also good. It's always good to talk about our anxieties and our pressures. But that peace that I'm speaking about is so much deeper. And I know a number of you sense that peace. And that's why you're motivated to do so much in helping one another. "Why are you troubled?" Jesus says to Thomas. "Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I. Touch me and see." And Thomas replies, "My Lord and my God." "Peace be with you," Jesus says to each and every one of you. A fifth appearance is the reading that we've read this morning from the Gospel, the 7 fishermen. Interesting enough about the 7 fishermen, 5 of them are named as 5 that we know, and 2 are unnamed. Reminding us in many ways that represents us, the unnamed people of Scripture, that keeps the church very much alive and relevant to everyone. "Have you caught any fish?" Jesus shouted from the seashore. Reminiscent, perhaps, of the first calling of fishers of men. In the dialogue with Peter that followed the miraculous catch of the 153 fish that we've read, Peter was reinstated as the leader of the apostles on whom Jesus built the early Christian communities. We know that Peter denied Jesus three times after Jesus had been arrested. And so Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Peter, of course, was hurt when he was asked a third time by Jesus, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus commanded Peter to feed my sheep. Peter became the rock upon which much of the emerging Christian church communities was built, even though his ministry ended up in martyrdom. Peter became a remarkable leader, a miracle worker, as we read through the book of Acts. And just as Jesus spoke to Peter, Jesus says to us, "Do you love me? Do you love Jesus?" And if we say yes, he says, "Feed my sheep." And of course, you do that so often through the afternoon teas and the coffee bars and so on. And when you're feeding them, I know you're feeding them with tea and coffee and wonderful tasty cakes and so on, but you're actually feeding them with the love of Jesus. And some of those people get that because they trust you and they respect your leadership as the local church here that does so much for local people. And of course, through the food bank, you literally feed people. And the sixth appearance of the risen Jesus was his ascension into heaven. And shortly before that, he gave us the Great Commission. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that's what Jesus still commands us to do. There's one grandmother here and one mother here. "You can't believe the joy I experience here when I see your four children come in. And I just love seeing Ireland Church so frequently," as we all do. "And you know the joy of seeing someone like Amy growing in her ability not just to read, but growing in faith." And so we pray for that little gathering next door, that they will grow and sense God's love. But telling people about Jesus doesn't mean we have to go to the other side of the world. It's still important, and thankfully many people have gone from this country and served overseas in his church. I heard one lovely story recently about the minister preaching and working in Jamaica, and the young children were down the front. Something fell from the roof. It was a scorpion. The scorpion is pretty evil in that part of the world, and the minister thankfully left his chancel area and dealt with the scorpion, and the children were safe. We serve people all sorts of ways. We go to the people. There, the minister had to go literally to save the children from a poisonous scorpion. We so often have to save people from poisonous words or some strange ideas that emerge through social media and so on, particularly amongst our young people. It is a challenge for us. So Jesus, we know, visited a number of people as the risen Jesus to demonstrate his victory over death and to give them encouragement for their mission ahead. The eyewitnesses who saw the risen Jesus were encouraged to go and tell people about Jesus' love, forgiveness, peace, and new life. And that's what they did, and that's why we're here today. Upon seeing the resurrected Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, they were transformed. They lived radically different lives from their former ways, telling people about Jesus and about his gift of salvation. Stop and think. Do you think you live radically different lives? Yes, you look the same on the outside, but do you think Jesus moves you to serve in different ways than perhaps you wouldn't have done 5 years ago or 10 years ago? That's a conversation between you and Jesus. The Apostle Paul spoke on the centrality of the resurrection as we read in our first reading. But continuing that reading in verse 12, "But it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead. How can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, as is your faith. For Paul, he's saying the core belief of the Christian faith is the crucifixion and the resurrection. One without the other means nothing. Jesus ensured that there were many eyewitnesses who saw him as the risen Jesus during the period of 40 days after that first Easter day, not just to one person, but to numerous individuals, small groups, and even large crowds. Paul gave a list of people who saw the risen Jesus, and that's what we've read. Peter, also mentioned in Luke chapter 24, where it says, the disciples say to Cleopas when he returns from his walk to Emmaus to say that he has seen the risen Jesus, they too say, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon Peter. And then there was the 12, which must have included Matthias. Judas is dead by now. So that's another occurrence of the risen Jesus when he visited 12, the doubt to welcome Matthias into the 12. 500 of the brothers at the same time. I've said this before. Can you imagine 500 of us ever agreeing on a single thing? At least not in the Church of Scotland. It's not easy. It's difficult to agree the hymns and so on. Not with Jim, I say. Jim is easily the best organist I've ever worked with. Not because he's an excellent organist, but a pleasure to work with because I think we have the same joy of music in hymns, Jim. And so we quickly agree the hymns. James was another person. This isn't James the Apostle. James the Apostle is dead by now. This is James's brother. And this gives us encouragement, this James, because James would have nothing to do with him, with Jesus, during his earthly ministry. Now, most of us have family members or friends or neighbors who will have nothing to do with Jesus. But James represents the chance that there's still hope for them. Maybe Jesus will visit them or work to them through you. And then, of course, there's the apostles, which included more than the 12. As far as Paul was concerned, he reckoned there's probably about 22, 23 of them, which included people like Barnabas, perhaps. Andronicus is one of the names mentioned in one of his letters. And then, last of all, says Paul, he appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Yes, there are some discrepancies between the 12 appearances in some of the detail, but that's a good thing. If it all matched perfectly, it would have been a scripted series of records which would have had no value. The differences help to validate all these appearances. But there's one single point that all these eyewitnesses were adamant about. They saw the risen Jesus. Their testimonies were consistent. The tomb was empty, and they saw with their own eyes the risen Jesus. Jesus was not a ghost. He ate on the barbecue fish, and he had broiled fish when he was visiting Thomas and the other disciples. So it was no momentary appearance on a single day. It is an historic event, and this is the foundation of our faith in Christ. The gospel accounts are not a single story, but they start in the Old Testament over a period of time when the Messiah is expected to come, and the Messiah indeed has come. And so we have these post-resurrection accounts. We have more than enough evidence from eyewitness accounts to make an informed decision about the resurrection of Jesus for ourselves. And that's the lovely thing about the Christian faith. You have freedom to choose and say yes to Jesus or no or remain indifferent. And there's no exam. There's no test. It's just between you and Jesus when you can accept Jesus in your life. And so for many of us, that's what we're encouraged to do, to help people around us in our families and friends to come to Jesus by giving that gentle encouragement. Generation after generation have believed in the risen Jesus and have gathered to worship him for over 2,000 years. God makes a habit of revealing wonders through the least likely people, ordinary people like us. With one exception, none of us have been on television as far as I know. We're the ordinary people doing extraordinary things through faith in Jesus. The fact that you're here week by week encourages you in your faith so that you no longer are alone in life, but you work with Jesus in all things. Jesus is no longer hanging on a cross or buried in a tomb. He's alive. He's risen. And the help of the Holy Spirit has been promised to all of us who turn to Christ. As well as the evidence of the risen Jesus, this morning Jesus says to us these post-resurrection sayings. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Do you love me? And if you do love Jesus, feed my sheep, by which he means go and make disciples everywhere through your example and your love. And if we respond positively to what Jesus is saying here, then we really will have accepted Jesus into our daily lives every day. And we will be ready to pass on our love of Jesus from our generation to the next one, just as he encouraged us to do this day and every day. Amen. We'll just pause just for a moment before we sing the next hymn, which I'll announce in a moment. Just pause and see if we can reflect on that. We simply pause because there's a lot to take in there. Many a minister will turn the today's sermon into a series of 12, and they're probably wise to do so, so you'll forgive me for throwing a lot at you, but it's an exciting story, so let's sing There Is a Redeemer, hymn number 559, 559.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we lift our hearts in prayer, we intercede on behalf of your beloved children, recognizing the challenges and joys that shape our shared journey of faith. We pray for those who may be wrestling with doubt or fear. May the light of your truth of the risen Jesus dispel the shadows and bring reassurance and peace. Strengthen their faith and grant them the courage to walk boldly in your light.
We lift those who long for genuine fellowship within the community of believers. May your Spirit foster unity, understanding, and love, creating a bond that reflects the beauty of the fellowship. May our shared life be a testimony to the transformative power of your grace. We intercede for those who feel isolated or lonely, yearning for connection. Wrap them in the warmth of your love and guide us to be instruments of companionship and support. May we actively seek out those in need and extend a hand of friendship.
God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza today, and all the countries suffering from war and strife. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow, that your Spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their minds and reasoning. And we pray that we will play our part in helping refugees with our resources.
We continue to pray for our fellowship here and thank you for the people who give their time, talent, and money for this church community. We ask you to take our offerings and use them to build up the church family here and worldwide. May we as a church family always serve you faithfully and with humility, and give our time, talent, and resources generously. We give thanks for our interim moderator, Derek, for the Kirk Session elders, and the leaders who run the groups in this church community and provide hospitality. We thank you also for the people who look after our finances, property, and administration. We give thanks for the ongoing discussions with Uphall and Strathbrook churches on how to work together in building up the church family here and beyond. We also thank you for the people who support the food bank, the coffee bars, and the afternoon teas, and provide refreshments after our services.
We pray for those facing bereavement, adversity, illness, or distress. Embrace them with your comforting presence and grant them strength to endure such sadness. Use us, your church, as channels of your love, bringing practical help and compassion to those in need. And we bring before you, Lord, the names and situations that lie heaviest on our hearts now in silent prayer. For these prayers and all the unspoken spoken prayers of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We conclude our service now by singing our last hymn, number 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns. And now may the peace, grace, strength, joy, and love given so freely to us by God be your constant companion and be offered in fellowship and shared with all whom you meet this day and the days ahead. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and evermore.